Bondi Tunes, playing all over the UK now.
In the UK, Ling Pang interviews people from all around the world, and she is Bondi Tunes International.
Bondi Tunes, playing all over the planet now.
This is Ling Pang for Bondi Tunes International, and I talked with James Mitchell Jr. and Dwayne Lomas, who is preferred to be called Locke of Detroit Emeralds. I'm delighted to welcome James Mitchell Jr. and Locke. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, we're great and enjoying it and so glad to be speaking to you.
Thank you. Locke, how did you get to know James Mitchell Jr.?
Well, he really hit me upside my head with a stick a couple of times.
No,
just kidding.
I don't believe you said that.
No, James Mitchell Jr. has been a very close friend of mine spiritually and a brother and a mentor to me for quite some time. I met him in the early 70s. I was playing with his band, and we did we played for the Detroit Emeralds on a show in Washington, and I got a chance to meet him then. And in the process, we had a chance to meet the gentleman who actually kind of connected us together. He owned a nightclub in Detroit called Ethel's Cocktail Lounge, and his name was Mr. Johnson, but we called him Pops. And Pops kept us, kept Dune and I kind of connected, and I got a chance to meet his family. And then I got a chance to play in his bar a couple of times, and I played for the group that had a great big song, which was the Floaters, and they had this song called the Floaters. And at that point, I think we started kind of connecting to one another, and from a distance we were. And then I would call him periodically, he would call me periodically. And then one day out of the blue, I called him. I said, James, I say, I have this song, man. I want to send it to you. I want you to critique it. So I sent it to him. And after he listened to it, he called me back. He says, we can do something with this. So I said, okay, all right. So we kept on. And moving up to the day, I was actually tour manager, musical director, and drummer for a group called the Dramatics. And what happened was he called me one day and says, hey, I'm putting the Detroit Emeralds back together. Would you be interested in being a part of it? Yeah, you know, I said, but let me talk it over with my wife first. And I went upstairs and talked over with my wife, and I called him back, and I told him, yeah, absolutely, I would definitely be interested. But at that point, I really didn't know what particular role he wanted me to play.
So what role did you play?
Well, actually, now the role that I play with the Detroit Emeralds, I'm actually a member of the Detroit Emeralds and one of the singers in the group now.
That's wonderful. You know, the beginning of Detroit Emeralds, I will ask James Mitchell Jr., are you one of the original founders of the band?
Yes, I'm one of the original founders, and there was only three Detroit Emeralds. That was myself, James Mitchell Jr., and two brothers, Abram Tillman Jr. and Ivy Lee Tillman. That was the Detroit Emeralds. Now, they were a gospel group for years, the brothers. And they were called the Tillman Brothers. But as far as them being the Detroit Emeralds, they weren't. The only Detroit Emeralds was Ivy Lee Tillman, Abe Tillman Jr., and myself, James Mitchell Jr. It's weird how the name got started.
You know, we associate you guys with the beautiful song called Feel the Need. And you guys have built up such a catalog of music that sort of creates a wonderful history that takes you back to a certain era of your life. From then on, have you guys always worked and you never really stopped?
Well, you know, we worked for over 20-something years abroad and in the United States, domestically as well as internationally. With England and all, and we were back and forth. And what happened is Abe was with the group once we released Feel the Need. He was with the group for about 4 years. And then we parted, and Ivy and myself stayed together. Then we had another young man that came in to do one of the tours with us. His name was Carl Johnson, but he wasn't originally in the group. So we took in the group after Abe was Marvin Willis, which was the co-writer and producer. Abe and myself were writing all the tunes for the Detroit Emeralds. Abe wrote Feel the Need, but we would do all the things together. All of our hits came from what we either we wrote them together, or he, and then after that, that's the same thing that happened with Marvin as he came in the group, mm-hmm. him and I, and wrote songs that we did. And now that's what's happening with Dwayne, with Locke. We're writing all the songs that you hear.
We must have this one, Feel the Need in Me. We used to have a program called Top of the Pops, which featured a lot of bands. Were you guys part of the Top of the Pops era too?
Yeah. Well, you were part of the Top of the Pops era.
Yeah.
They did. You remember the Unforgettable?
Yes, of course.
That, well, they show that here all the time when we did the shows. Edwin Starr was us the time we were on. Yeah. And whoever, and you know, like all of the guys from Detroit, those that stayed over from Edwin, yeah. And all the other stars. Jimmy Ruffin, we would be on those shows. So that Unforgettable show, I remember that. We even did a show with Madeline Bell. If I don't know if you remember her, Madeline Bell, she was pretty big when we first started over. Did a TV special with her. And our bass player was the bass player for, trying to think of the group. It was John Paul was his name. I can't think of the group right now. It was a great big rock group. And, well, things went great with it. And we did a lot of those different Plus, they on top of the Pops, they featured the song over because we went to and Billboard. We went to the top of the Pops and number four. We had knocked the Rolling Stones out. Get out of here! I don't believe it.
I mean, there are other, of course, other great hit that we love. Do Me Right, You Want It, You Got Me, Baby, Let Me Take You in My Arms. Wonderful. They're all the 70s hit songs.
You know, they're putting them in the movies now, like with the Jamie Foxx and Kevin Spacey and all of them. They had a movie called Baby Driver, in scenes in that. And I'm looking at this and I say, oh man, the times we were having, we were doing that. Same thing with one of our first recordings, Do Me Right, was a tune that Abe and I wrote for James Brown.
Wonderful.
We drove all the way to Cincinnati from Detroit to take him the song, right? We were riding it on receipts as we stopped in restaurants, everything, going from Detroit. Yeah. We got there, James Brown, he had just left. They killed it, and I'll leave it alone. Right, they got to be a hit, and James Brown asked me, where's my money?
And James, you're also a songwriter.
Oh, well, we write and put, all of our
hits, we wrote
and produce, and that's what Locke is doing now. That's one of the most wonderful things that happened. This is why the legacy continues, and I'm quite sure that everyone's going to be glad when the album comes out, or the EP out later on this year.
Now that you and Locke are all working very closely together, continue to produce more music, are you expecting to be coming over with Locke to do some live shows?
Well, this is what's happening. The Detroit Emeralds will come. I'm a minister. I've been a minister for a few years, and I took, you know, back up with the writing and producing because of the name and because of whatever, and the ideal people came in line. And that's why when Locke said, when I just asked him, I said, would you like to be a Detroit Emerald? He said, yeah. He really thought I was kidding at first.
You know, you got same with other band, the Four Tops, the Stylistics. You are all up there, the Manhattans, and all equally amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're talking about all of our friends, and you're right, because Joel Austin, we just spoke, we did an interview, and we said, mentioned his name. He just said, tell the Emeralds we said hello.
You know, Gerald's such an amazing man, isn't he, of the Manhattans?
Oh,
yes. And I can remember when I first worked with the Manhattans, Gerald wasn't with them. Smitty was there then.
Yeah.
So, we went in the Apollo at the same, this was way back, this was in the day, and I think it was 68 or 69, but we went in our first time in Detroit, almost been going to the Apollo, and they were co-stars, the Manhattans. And so Smitty was leading then, which, I love Smitty and Gerald. I know he talked about him. Smitty was that real guy. And Gerald came, he fit so perfect. When I heard his voice, it just knocked me out.
The 70s, they were the most amazing, you know, music were ever recorded in the Motown era. Do you agree?
We were blessed. We were blessed at that time. You know, like we are, and we got it from those, like those shoulders that we stood on, like with the Funk Brothers playing and doing it all, and the different musicians that we used. And we all did things like we couldn't do the major venues, right? And we could only do the neighborhood venue.
Yeah.
And so the venue that was in my neighborhood, let me let you know, some of the guys were in the neighborhood. The Four Tops, Levi lived out. Little Willie John, but Jackie Wilson just stayed in Highland Park, which is right across the street. And just all of those groups. Well, we all come into the Recreation Center and get that, but we got our first start as being professional, as we would be on the talent shows, right? And whoever went to the talent show could come back to be a professional. And you had a chance to go to the other theaters around the city.
So tell me, all these songs by the Detroit Emerald, have you sort of written most of the lyrics for them?
Well, you know what? The hit tunes, most of it, if the lyrics were even done by Abe and I, and music by Abe and I, but Abe was just a genius. And I learned a lot of things. I had did things before, but, you know, before we were with them, it was because they were gospel, and I was out there. Matter of fact, even before Motown started, I was with a little group called the Five Rockets. And each one of those guys went to different groups as we grew up. And things happened. They had hits under different names, and mine happened to be under Detroit Emeralds. But what happened is all that music and everything that's happened, everyone understood, and we all came from the different neighborhoods. And it was It was just a joy thing.
So are there likely to be more albums to be released in the coming months?
Well, there should be an album out where possibly an EP should be out before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. If you love Wear This Ring With Love, if you love Feel the Need in Me,
yes,
you're going to fall in love with this EP.
Oh, I love all your music. You just give me the name. It's enough for me to feel excited.
You've made my day. That's what it's all about. When you say that, it's all written about our lives. Everyone could be talking about Feel the Need in Me to each other.
It's That's a classic, the way we did isn't it? It?
Yeah.
They're all amazing songs. You know, Baby, Let Me Take You in My Arm. You melt my heart with
right.
that song.
Let me take you in my arms. Let me take you in my arms and hold you. Show you I love you. Baby, I love you. Baby, I love you. Baby, baby, I love you. Don't love nobody else. You got my love just for yourself. Listen. Let me kiss you.
You play music and you sing. So your involvement in the music world is huge. You play drums for Chairman of the Board, for Albert King, and you make songs with the Dramatics. And Bobby Womack, 1970s, the songs like Exportations. Look at all this wonderful work yourself. have achieved. That is a huge credit to yourself.
Yes, you know, I truly appreciate it. But, you know, first of all, I've got to just thank God, because there are so many other things that could have happened, and they could have went in other different directions. But God blessed me with being able to do what I do and be what I am, and let me to be the person that I am. And so, you know, first of all, I have to thank him. But second of all, I do appreciate the fact that, you know, that when I sit behind my drums, that the most important thing for me is to have a person feel the beat that I play. If you feel the beat that I play, then I think I've accomplished a lot, because there's you could do a lot of things on drum, but if don't nobody feel you, you know, I have a studio here, and Dune and I have, James have, we put together a studio ourselves. Just able to go into the studio at any given time and just put down whatever it is that I feel. And back in the day, it would take, if the rhythm section were going through the studio, then the whole rhythm section would have to go in the studio and you have to play the stuff down. Every now and then you could punch something, but then, you know, you might hit it just right. Well, today's music, it's about just one person going into the studio.
Yeah.
And he does pretty much close to everything. And then after that, you take it from the process of mixing and mastering. And then after that, you know, where if you're going to release it, then you release it and pray to God that it works out just fine. You know, it's a different process now than it was.
But singers like yourself who derive from those era would always have that trademark in your voice, would always have that styling. You will never depart from those times. Whatever new music you're making, you will add to it, because that's your trademark.
Yes, absolutely.
You're
right.
Even after all these years, still making music, the longevity of your career must have been a huge part of your guy's life. Is that your oxygen? Music is your oxygen?
And food. oxygen and food.
And also friendship, too, do you think?
Oh, yes. Like today, it's a wonderful thing. It's one of the things to know is, I think, and we've been blessed enough to go around the world, and we've had a chance to speak to everyone. And you have a chance to see and actually see that how people really live. What they go through and how you can appreciate the different things you have. And we were blessed enough to be in the, to go to Wembley, to go to Royal Albert Hall.
Have you performed at the O2 yet?
You know what? That was after us, after we stopped touring. We stopped touring, as I tell you, I'm a minister. And before I called Locke to do something, it was about 15, almost 20 years.
Oh, better. Locke, since you teamed up with Detroit Emeralds, what are the work that you have collaborated memorable to you?
Well, actually, the song Call Me, I'm Ready, that James Mitchell and I, and also LaValle Jackson, who is one of the members of the Detroit Emerald.
Call Me, I'm Ready. Is that one done recently?
It was done in 2018.
That's a 28, not that long ago.
No,
it was just, it was the first release with this set, with the Legacy Continues On. That's the first release on them,
yeah.
As a matter of fact, it got us the record deal.
And actually the song Victory, which was actually written by the same three people, me, James Mitchell Jr., and LaValle Jackson, I think they were it's just so touching. And the weird part about the song Victory is, before I became with Detroit Emeralds, Dune and I was getting ready to do a project on me. That song was actually supposed to be on me, okay? And I said to Dune, I said, well, okay, is it time for us to release this? He kept saying no. I said, okay. So now the virus come in. And I say, it's time for us to release it. He said, no, not yet. Okay. Now we come up with an antidote. And he says, now is the time to release it, because we have gotten the victory with this antidote. And I was, okay. And then the weird part about it is, we met a gentleman that was the bass player for the Detroit Hammer. His name is Jerome Remsen, and he's in partnership with the our manager. His name is Kenny. They actually heard the songs that we had done and was so impressed, and they said, we got to sign you guys to our label. And we signed to the label, and voila.
When you listen, though, what it is, it does to it, it will move you, because it's on there. The tempo should be, and that's what we think about a lot.
It's very happy song.
What it is, and like, it reminded me so much of Northern Soul, when we were going to Northern Soul, and it had that feel to it, the all-nighters. And so they said, well, this could work. And they were excited about it in Ireland. The clarity and everything that's needed for the mastering, it just seemed to be there. And it looked like it's a great marriage to MCM, the global team. They're working hard.
Thank you for sending me the song, Call Me, I'm Ready. Here it is.
I'm ready, I'm ready.
Let's talk. No, 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 we need to talk right now.
I'm ready.
It's over with. Every once in a while, or when you get home.
I'm ready.
No, no, that's okay. I'm out of here.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Empty days and dark nights. There's no light without you. All I see, mirage to me, unreal, so unreal. I'm ready to speak and share thoughts with you.
I'm ready, I'm ready.
Let me talk.
I'm ready, I'm ready.
Please, can I talk?
I'm ready, I'm ready.
I'm ready, ready, ready.
Oh. I'm ready, I'm ready.
I wanna talk to you.
I made mistakes along the way. I can't live without. Words I speak is coming from my heart. Oh, baby, dang, I'm ready. I'm ready.
I'm ready to speak.
Oh, baby,
I'm ready to share.
Oh,
I'm ready to talk.
Are you ready?
I'm ready to care. Are you ready to hear?
Are you ready?
What's on your mind? Are you ready for me? 'Cause I'm ready for you.
I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Oh, 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 oh.
I'm ready.
In the UK, Ling Pang interviews people from all around the world, and she is Bondi Tunes International.
Bondi Tunes, playing all over the planet now.
If you have just joined me, I'm talking with James Mitchell Jr. and Locke of Detroit Emeralds. Locke, you must have been to the UK many times yourself.
Yeah, I actually toured in 73, 74, 75, was chairman of the board. Boy, I had some fun over there. Wow. That's all I can say.
Have you got an agent in the UK to help you with the bookings?
Actually, our manager, Kenny, is pretty much handling that part of it. We allow him to handle that because he's there and he can make better contacts than we can. With bringing the Detroit Emeralds over. And what he wants us to do is just to concentrate on having the best show that we could possibly have and let him handle the other part, in which I say, thank you, Jesus.
how much changes are now to your costumes compared with the 70s? Do you guys wear individual suit or you still dress the same?
We still dress the same. I think them guys back then dressed better than them.
My main man, Lavelle is in charge of anything and everything we wear, right?
You guys, in front of the camera, are very healthy and very energetic. So do you guys have to work really hard on a good diet and do daily exercises to keep yourself looking healthy and good?
All I can say is I push up crunches. And I coach high school basketball. Being a minister, I'm with a lot of the youth and with everybody. So It's very important to know how it is, but it's also important to let them know how it was, how you should dress. And I think that you would be, as you would love it. From here, you would love how they're going to look. And I won't be traveling with them. So most of the things they'll see of me will probably be on screen or whatever.
Yes.
But all the photography and everything they have to go through, we all have to go through that together. And so to make it look, let it be Detroit Emeralds.
The new song Victory will be featured on all your future shows then?
Yes, yes, it will. It will. The new material, we got to play the heartthrob music. That touched all of our hearts, even us as we wrote and produced it, that they will be there. And they'll hear a lot of the songs that we did that were popular. So some of those that were big and domestically here in the United States, that they put them on the different albums. And a lot of people called, well, how come you didn't do it? They even know that they had heard them over there. And on most of the groups that we've written for, like I said, we only mentioned the Floaters because they were like our babies. And matter of fact, Float On was introduced in England almost before it was introduced here in the United States.
Yeah.
We were on tour. Feel the Need had went back up the charts to number 12 again. And we were on tour, and I had just finished the album, producing the album, along with Marvin we had. And I brought it over on cassette. And we played it, and every date that we did, we made sure the DJ had it, right? They used to have to get security to get our CD back. The security had to go get it. The DJ didn't want to give it. And we knew something was happening then. So by the time we got back to Detroit, in England, they were selling like 1,600 a day on the week. I don't believe this. I said, what? Yeah, but the tune hit everyone like that. And it's a blessing to be able to do that. The question was asked to me, and I'm only going to give the answer to you. Nobody knows this answer but you. Why didn't the Detroit Emeralds, why didn't you record Float On for yourself? And I told him, I said, wait a few weeks and you'll know. And then as we came back the next year, I said, because the Floaters recorded and the postman visited my box. They were supposed to do it. Now my wife can eat, I can eat, my kids can go to school. Because it was one of the biggest tunes we had written in that time. And it was on that group. And hey, who's to say that the Detroit Emeralds might not do it again? I don't know.
James, you should write a book. People would love to have that.
Glad you said it.
Why?
I've had them, they asked about it, right? The book has been finished for 7 years. I only have to find the right time and the right thing to release it. It's called Every woman is special. Detroit Emma.
When are you thinking of getting it released?
All I'm doing is talking. I haven't talked. I finished the manuscript. Everything is finished. I haven't taken it to my professional writers to take it, go through it, know everything. Yeah, I'm in that process with having, and Kenny will be in charge of making all that happen, and it will be coming. It's coming. So there'll be something new to make it. We're praying on the play. The movie, I don't know, even about possibly the video that they're doing on Poverty Victory. There's no telling who's going to be in that. So if you mess around on your pictures in that, I'll be shocked too. I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, that'd be wonderful, having a book out, and then the history will always be remembered.
Well, I make sure that you'll be the first one when it's coming out or whatever. So said, we're just in the stages going. We're going through the pre-production side of it, and the production has been done, but you have to have the post-production and everything that needs to get it into the hands of the public. So yeah. We're working on it.
And now Block is working with you. He's done drumming, he's writing music, he's also the manager of chairman of the board. Block, how do you find time to do everything?
Well, actually, you know, it's a tiresome day, you know. Well, when you think in terms of everything that you have to do and still keep myself aligned with everything that goes on during the day, it's not an easy process, but God blesses me. And mm-hmm. I have a strong-willed wife that is behind me and kids and grandkids that just keep kicking me every time I want to slow down. So I just keep right on going.
So, Log, you're everywhere, in other words, you know, music, and you sing and you play the drum, you write music. What's your highlight?
Oh, man, highlight is the highlight is being able to thank God for everything he's given me. Now, that is a truly, truly blessing for me. But, I mean, you know, I love drums, and it's something that I will never give up. But, you know, right now, from a business standpoint, I have to kind of put drums, you know, just a little back a little bit, because now the forefront that's, you know, needs to be taken care of is the Detroit Emeralds and my ability to sing and step and dance, you know. And James Mitchell has told me on several different times, I have 16 left legs, and I'm trying to boil it down to a right and left. Get the routine right.
Look at the people you've been associated with. The Miracles.
Yes.
Wow.
And again, that's a blessing. But you know what? This is really weird. Now, I told you this a long time ago that this happened. I used to play with this group called Mad Dog and the Pups. They were four guys who we just had a record out in the early 60s. In the late 60s and the early 70s. Okay. And I played when I was, you know, at that time, 14 years old, you know, and I'm still green, okay? So anyway, we played this show at this club called Phelps Lounge.
Yeah.
And opening up for this group called the Staple Singers. So in the audience was this very talented and powerful guy, and his name was Bill Cosby. At the time, I didn't know that he used to be a drummer. He came up to me after I finished playing with this group, and he tells me, I love the way you play drums. And he says to me, I want to take you back to Philadelphia, because he was living in Philadelphia. He said, I want to put you in school. He said, I want to help you to graduate. I want you to get a master's degree in music, and I want to help you with your business. Man, I'm 14 years old, so I don't know anything about this, so this seems great to me. Needless to say, the manager who managed this group called Mad Dog and the Pups called my mother, kept her on the phone all night long, and tried to get her to agree to not let me go. Well, the next day, Bill Cosby comes over to my house, had this beautiful limousine, sits in the living room, and he begs my mother for 3 hours to let me go to Philadelphia with him. Finally, my mother says no.
Too young.
Yes, yes, yes. 14. But the thing about it is this here. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that Bill Cosby took an interest in me at an early age. You know, he didn't have to come to me. There were a lot of the drummers out there. Mm-hmm. One of the gentlemen that mentored me, his name is AJ Sparks, and another one is by the name of Larry Talbot. Larry Talbot used to play with the group Radio, Ray Parker Jr. Mm-hmm. And AJ Sparks was the drummer for this group. What was their name, James Mitchell Jr.?
The Detroit Emeralds?
Yes. And he would come in town and he would just drill me to death between him and Larry Talbot. And I appreciate them guys. Larry Talbot has passed away now, and AJ Sparks is still doing his thing. Mm-hmm. Great person, a great mentor. I can just pick up the phone and call him, and he would sit and talk to me just about anything. So, you know, those guys are just such a blessing to be in my life, you know, and to see what they have done and to know that they stood behind me and said that you can make it. All you got to do is just keep pushing.
Yeah, that's a good encouragement for any young musician listening now. They would be very inspired by what you just say.
Absolutely.
And another one I got to ask you about, I absolutely a huge fan of David Ruffin's music.
I played only 3 days with David Ruffin. But the thing about David is he was so precise. And yeah. He knew what he wanted. And man, when he got on stage, he delivered. That's one thing I can say.
Perfectionist.
Yes. He would leave it all on the stage when he come out there. So, but I love working with him though. I love working with him. And the gentleman that introduced me to David was Larry Talbot.
That's good. And heat wave, disco type of music.
Yeah. That situation there, that was really a funny situation because what happened was as we were doing a date with them, and they actually called me and asked me if I would put together the band to play for them on a couple of dates. And I actually did. And that was another situation that I really, really enjoy playing for them guys, Keith Wilder and all them. It was just such a blessing. And he's just fun to work with. Before we go any further, I wanted to just send a shout out to the other two members that are in the Detroit Emeralds. We want to send a shout out to LaValle Jackson and Eddie Cameron. Both of the guys are very talented singers, very talented musicians as well. And man, they do a great job. I'm blessed to be with them guys.
It's past great. They're wonderful. Hey, all I can say is, E-Cam, we love you.
Yes, sir.
And a message, please, for the British fans.
Hey, all we can say is this. It's like coming home when we come to the UK. So call me. I'm ready to come. All righty? All we need is to get the pandemic over, and you'll have us sitting in your living room or whatever.
We are coming.
Sure? I know we'd love to come, huh?
I want to say, Ling, I want to say thank you for having us on your show. We are honored that you wanted us on your show. So thank you from the bottom of our heart.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ling.
Please introduce your new song.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the new single by the Detroit Emeralds, The Legacy Continue, Victory.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Victory. Yep, I got victory. I got victory. Yeah, I got victory. Yep, I got victory. I got victory. I am victory.
Victory. I got the victory. The head and I- Hi, I'm James Mitchell, Jr.
This is Lavelle Jackson.
My name is Eddie Cameron.
And I lock with the Detroit Emeralds. And you're listening to Ling on By Night Tunes International Radio Station. And while you're there, check out the song Victory by the Detroit Emeralds. The legacy continues.
Clutter-free Bondi Tunes. Bongelico. It's a double number one. Maggie May is a song written by singer Rod Stewart and Martin Quittenden and recorded by Stewart in 1971 for his album Every Picture Tells a Story. Maggie May is said to express the ambivalence and contradictory emotions of a young man involved in a relationship with an older woman, and was allegedly written from Stewart's own experience. It was initially released in the United Kingdom as the B-side of the single Reason to Believe, but DJs became fonder of the B-side, and after 2 weeks on the charts, the song was reclassified, with Maggie May becoming the A-side. However, the single continued to be pressed with Maggie May as the B-side. In October 1971, the song went to number one in the UK and simultaneously topped the charts in the US. It also topped the charts in Australia for 4 weeks at the same time. The song was Stewart's first substantial hit as a solo performer and launched his solo career. It remains one of his best-known songs. Stewart himself was amused by the song's success, saying, "I still can't see how the single is such a big hit. It has no melody, plenty of character and nice chords, but no melody." So here's Rod singing those nice chords.
Never. And a big thank you to the late, great Bob Gallico for that piece on Maggie May here on Bondi Tunes International. A word about our website. If you would like to download any of our streams, we've got a one-hour music show and also this two-hour chat show, which we put on bonditunes.com, bonditunes.com. And when you go there, there's this really magic button that puts you onto a stream, our podcast. We hold all our shows to be available on demand on our websites. Thank you so much for joining us, but we're not going away. We're going to be back in less than 5 minutes with hour two of the Bondi Tunes International Chat Show.
Sure to grab on to something. I'll be there when you get there, waiting with the sounds bumping. listen up and live a bit. And if you got kids, let them know how you're feeling. For your own sake, give a bit. Oh, you don't wanna hear that. You're busy trying to stack and keep it with the Joneses, taking advantage of your own gorillas, homies that you've been knowing for the longest. But some ain't missing a good thing until it's gone. Could have built an empire, not for the jealousy that divides us. We prefer to keep our eyes shut to what's right when it's something more than we desire. So hold your head up high if you're poor and righteous. I know time seems strife and problems seem endless, but in times of despair, we gotta pull ourselves together. And if you feel you're out the game, then you need to get back in it. Cause nothing worse than a quitter. You gotta face responsibility one day, my brother. So gather up your pity and turn into ambition and put your vehicle in drive and stop by my side. Shall it be the wide and crooked or the straight narrow? We got one voice to give and one life to live. Stand up for something or lay down in the game. Listen to the song that we sing. It's up to you to make it be. I guess I'll see you when you see me.
The sun never sets on Bondi Tunes.